Well, take your copy of God's Word and let's go to a familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today. And I want to talk to you on the subject of out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old and in with the new. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse number 16. Would you stand together with me, please, as we read from God's Word? The Bible says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture this morning because it says so much to us. To those who are unsaved, it's hope. To those who are saved, it's a challenge. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit might teach us the things that we need to know and understand and be committed to here this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a London businessman by the name of Lindsay Clegg who told the story of a warehouse property that he was selling. The building had been empty for many months. It needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, broken out all the windows, put trash all around the interior of the building. And as he showed a prospective buyer this property, he took pains to say to him that he would replace the broken windows, he would bring in a crew to correct the structural damage and to clean out all of the garbage that was in the building. But the buyer said, "Forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building, I want the site. I want the site." Well, compared with the renovation God has in mind for us, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse that is slated for the wrecking ball. Because you see, when we become gods, the Bible tells us that the old life is over and that everything becomes brand new. So all he wants is the site. All he wants is the site and the permission to build on that site. Do you ever wish that perhaps you could do something about the old building called your life? You ever wish you could just level it and start all over again? There are a lot of reasons why these feelings seem to consume us from time to time. There are many relationships that are on the verge of disaster that could be redeemed if a new start were possible. There are people who have betrayed a trust and wish that somehow they could start all over again. People who are weighed down by problems, by guilt, by debt, by certain addictions, by habits, by ruts they find themselves in. All of them wishing that they could tear it all down and start all over again. But you know, the truth of the matter is that people need more than a second chance. They need more than a new lease on life. They need more than just a fresh start. What they really need is a new life. What they really need to become is a brand new person. Now, you can encourage somebody by telling them, well, today is the first day of the rest of your life. But the problem with that is, with that philosophy, is it doesn't work. And because the reason it doesn't work is because they are the same person and nothing has really changed that is necessary for the first day of the rest of their life to have any real impact on their life. People need more than a change of scenery. A parent may pull a child out of one school because of some bad relationships they have formed and some bad influences that have been introduced into their lives. And they move them to another school so that they can get a fresh start in a new environment, only to find out that instead of making it better, they made it worse. They have put them in an even more difficult situation. Well, today, perhaps some of you are thinking 2012 is going to be better because of, and you just fill in the blank, why you think 2012 is going to be better. But 2012 is going to be the same as all other years preceding it unless a radical spiritual change takes place in your life. Nothing's really going to change. Some of you have heard me talk about the difference between being a fan of Christ and being a follower of Christ. And Christ, in my opinion, has way too many fans and not enough followers. Because you know, fans are fickle. Fans are fickle while followers are committed at all costs. You don't need a new team. You need a new relationship. Is it possible? Absolutely. Let me tell you how 2012 can be different from any other year of your life. Here's the first reason. Anyone in Christ gets a fresh start or a new beginning. Look at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, because of what has just been said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. How many of you believe that's true? That's what happens when a person comes to Christ. And verse 17 says, if anyone, I want you to say that word with me, anyone, anyone, if anyone, this is a word that maybe somebody here this morning really needs to hear, because that anyone refers to you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, anyone, the Bible says, can find a fresh start, a new beginning in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, this is what Christ offers to us this morning. And the neat thing about what Christ offers to us is forgiveness for the past. Forgiveness for the past. No matter what you've done. No matter how bad your past might have been, no matter how good a moral person you might have been, but you were not saved, God forgives the past. The old is buried, never to rise again. And that's great news. You might say, yeah, right. That might be okay for you, but you don't know the mess my life is in right now. Three words. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what kind of mess your life is in or what kind of mess you've made out of your life. Christ still offers this fresh start to anyone. You can become a new creation. This is the hope that God offers to anyone who wants it. But in order to become this new creation of God, you first have to acknowledge that you need to change. Because personal change comes best from the inside out. As a matter of fact, that's the only way it can come. So many people seek to change themselves from the outside, but the problem with that is it doesn't last because it is not the primary need that is called for, the primary change that is called for. Christ is the only one who offers inside and outside help. Because let me tell you something. When the inside gets straightened out, the outside will take care of itself. When you get into a right relationship with God, then everything on the outside is going to take care of itself. Last Sunday, we talked about the difficulty of change. How you have to desire it and how you then have to discipline yourself in order to hold yourself accountable to the change. Well, this change can only be brought about by Jesus. Just like you can't save yourself from your sins, you can't change yourself either. But if we are in Christ, then that means that you have entered into a new relationship with Him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, to be in Christ is to have a close, intimate, real relationship with Him. Do you have that this morning? Because anyone in Christ gets a fresh start, they get a new beginning in life. Here's the second thing. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, He is a new creation. Now, let's stay with anyone just for a minute. Because anyone, this word anyone here, is so very important. How many of you are familiar with the verse John 3:16? You ever heard that before? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you see it sometimes on a sign that's held up at a football game, or Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, John 3:16. So you see John 3:16 all the time. I mean, you see that, you know that. But very rarely do you see Luke 9:23. On a sign. If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. I don't think I've ever seen that on a sign at a sporting event, have you? I don't believe I've ever seen that. If anyone would come after Me, Jesus says, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Now, that probably doesn't wind up on many signs because it is not as appealing as John 3:16. John 3:16, God loves me, I'm thankful, you know, and He died for me. But this says, I have to deny myself, I have to take up my cross every day, and I have to follow Him. Wow. But listen, John 3:16 and Luke 9:23 are connected. If a person has truly experienced a conversion experience. They're connected. It's not only that God loves me, but it's because of that love that He has for me that I am to deny myself and I am to take up my cross daily and I am to follow Him. That's the results of my conversion experience. You can't become a new creation if all you're willing to do is the same old things after you get saved. But I need to tell you this morning, I need to be honest with you. There is no believing without following. No believing without following. There is no John 3:16 without Luke 9:23. They go together. Something that is new is just that. It's new. It's new. It's not something that was old and has been patched up. That is to simply refurbish the old, but the old still exists, though it may look a little bit different. It's not. It may look like new, but it's not. It's not new. And so being a new creation in Christ is more than just a slight adjustment to life here and there. It's more than some sort of spiritual modifications that are applied to our life. Once a person is in Christ, everything changes. Everything changes. You cannot become a new creation until you're willing to step off the throne of your life and yield yourself to a new king. Does the change come easy? Honestly, no. That's why I believe that Jesus said that a person must count the cost before seeking to become a follower and not just a fan. Can something like this happen to me, you might ask? You say, I don't know much about God. I haven't been faithful in church attendance for years. Can this change take place in my life? Only through Jesus Christ. Jesus asked a group of guys to follow him, you remember? And he said to them, follow me. No classes, no explanations at the time, simply follow me. And they did. Fishermen, tax collectors, others who heard the invitation and accepted it to follow him. And the same invitation is being offered here this morning, because Jesus Christ says to all of us here today, and I want to tell you, he says it to those who are unsaved, and maybe more, even more importantly, he says it to those of us who are saved, follow me. Because I believe that a lot of churches are filled with people who are not following Jesus Christ. They're great fans of Jesus Christ. They love to hang around Jesus Christ. They love to study about Jesus Christ, but they don't follow Jesus Christ as they should. Who is able to become a new person? To become this new creation? Who is this offered to? Everyone. Anyone. And some might say, well, how about those with an ungodly sexual past? The Bible says anyone and everyone can become a new creation. How about the ex-convict? Everyone and anyone. How about the current convict? Everyone and anyone. How about the recently divorced? Anyone and everyone. How about the person with a marriage that is in turmoil? Everyone and anyone. How about the alcoholic? Everyone and anyone. How about the pothead? Everyone and anyone. How about the hypocrite? Everyone and anyone. How about the good moral person who doesn't know God? Everyone, anyone, anyone. You see, the new creation plan of God, His salvation plan, is available to anyone if anyone is in Christ. So it turns out that anyone means just that. Anyone. And anyone means me, and anyone means you. When anyone turns to Christ, the result is that the old things are gone and the new has come. Out with the old and in with the new. Now, are you going to look different when you get saved? No, because you are who you are. But as I said earlier, you let God control the inside. The outside will take care of itself. But I did have a funny experience about that once in baptism in a former church of mine. If you can picture this, the guy I was baptizing was like 6'5". I mean, you got that picture? I couldn't even reach his nose to baptize him, you know, with him standing up. So I said, I read all week, how am I going to do this? There's got to be a good way to do this. And so I read, you can ask the person to get down on their knees. And if they're on their knees, then all you have to do is this, and all is good. Sounds like a plan. So in that church, they had curtains, right? And so the curtains are closed. And so here comes this guy, gets in the baptistry. Nobody knows anything. I mean, they know him, of course, but he is on his knees in the baptistry. And I'm standing here, you know, still head to head with him. He's on his knees. And I'm still head to head with him. And so I go ahead and I baptize him. And then I said, after I had baptized him, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And he come rising up out of that water. All the teenage boys said, sign me up! Oh boy. You got the picture, right? I was thinking about this change and this new creation, and I remembered an old song. I mean, it's a long time ago it was written. It's a great gospel song. It's called Thanks to Calvary. Maybe some of you know it. Let me just give you a couple of the verses. And this talk about a man who's had his life changed. He said, today I went down to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them that thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. And then we went down to the house where we used to live, and my little boy ran behind the door like so many times before. And I said, son, you don't need to be afraid. You got a new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Well, that's the story of a new creation. And though alcohol and your children being afraid of you might not be your problem here this morning, all of us have a need to be changed from the inside to the outside, and it can happen if you come to Christ. So anyone in Christ gets a fresh start and is a new creation. But listen to this, here's the third thing. Anyone in Christ has a new purpose for living. A new purpose for living. Go back to verse 16. Now he's talking about after a person is saved, after what Christ has done. He says, so, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. How do you see people? Do you see them the way God sees them, or do you judge them according to your own checklist of approval? How do you see other people? Now, in heaven's eyes, there are no losers in this world. Only people who have a void in their lives that only God can fill. Because we've been changed, we need to let others know that they can be changed also. Look at these verses. Or look at this concept first. We look at our city through the eyes of a missionary and with the posture of servants. See, Jesus didn't come to be served, did he? He said he came to serve, to be a servant. So if we're going to reach our community for Christ, if we're going to make an impact in our city for Christ, we have to look at our city and we have to look at our neighbors through the eyes of a missionary, that everybody needs Christ, and with the posture of a servant, that I will do whatever it takes. I will humble myself in order to try to win that person to Christ. Now, the next verse. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, when you reconcile two parties together, what are you doing? You're getting them back together. Something drove them apart, and now you're getting them back together. So he has committed to us this message of reconciliation, which is able to get the two back together. Now, who are the two? Well, God's here. He's never moved. You and I have moved away from him. But the neat thing about it is that wherever you left God, that's where you'll find him. That's exactly where you'll find him. So he's given us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore, because we've been given this message of reconciliation, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Now, what does an ambassador do? An ambassador delivers not their own message, but a message from a high-ranking official. Now, we're ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And listen to this. As though God were making his appeal through us. As though when we speak, it's God speaking. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now let me ask you something. If the world is to be reconciled to God, how's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen when those who are in Christ and have become brand new accept the purpose for their life, accept the fact that they have been given the message of reconciliation. You and I have a message from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And our job, our purpose for living now, from the day we got saved to the day God takes us home, is to be ministers of reconciliation. Because we are ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. When an ambassador goes abroad with a message from the President of the United States, when that message is given, it is as if the President of the United States were there giving it. It carries as much authority and power. So, verse 19. What a great verse this is. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Amen. Y'all didn't hear that. Not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. God no longer is counting our sin against us. Verse 21 is probably one of the best good news verses in the Bible. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And the news is just not just for us, it's for others. We have been reconciled. We have been brought together. We have been united with God to become reconcilers. We've been made ambassadors, representatives of God, so that we can take that message of reconciliation and bring the two together. And all this means that once a person is saved, and once a person becomes a new creation in Christ, that they also have a new purpose for living. So if you want to be out with the old and in with the new, it can happen. And listen, right now I'm not just talking to those who are unsaved, because you can't become a Christian unless you trust Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. There are some people, there are some of us who have not reconciled ourselves to this message that God has given us. And so there are still perhaps some old things that try to rear their head up every day and cause us great discomfort and distress and frustrate us, because we know that as a believer, I'm supposed to be doing this and I'm not getting it done. So even in our lives as believers, there are times in our lives when the old things have to pass away, the old attitudes, the old mindset has to go away so that everything can become brand new. So if you want to be out with the old and in with the new, two things you have to do. First of all, admit that you can't make the changes on your own. You can't. You can't change yourself. Oh, I know there's all these self-help sections in these bookstores and all that stuff. You can't change yourself. If a person could change themselves, how many times do you think they would have changed themselves? Anybody make any New Year's resolution? Did it involve change? Did it involve anything that needs to change in your life? Well, let me ask you something. First of all, did you ask God what needed to be changed, or did you just take it on yourself? So, you know, God, I think I'll work on these things this year. I think I'll do this for a while, and I'll see. Let me just see how it goes. No, if you're serious about change, listen, you got to talk to the one who knows what changes you need to make, because I'm convinced we don't know. And the changes that we think we need to make are not going to put much stress on our lives. So admit that you cannot make the changes on your own. And then ask God for the salvation He made possible through Jesus Christ. Now, if you want the old to go away and you want a new lease on life and you want a new beginning, a new start, you want to become a new creation like it talked about here, this is what you have to do. You can't do it yourself. So you have to ask God for the salvation He made possible through Jesus. And then if you are a believer and you are not where you know that you need to be, you need to ask God for the plan that He gave for salvation to begin to work in your life. You need to confess that you haven't done it, because salvation, when a person is saved, that's not the end, that's the beginning. We are saved, we're being saved, we will be saved. Salvation is really threefold. It's when you confess your sins, that's when you get saved. There's a life to live in between the time you are saved and God takes you home, and the fulfillment of your salvation takes place. And guess what's supposed to be taking place right in here? Ministry of reconciliation. All the way through, ministry of reconciliation, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So if you want a new life, you can have it. The Bible says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Has that happened in your life? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word on this first day of a new year and to contemplate the new creation that you saved us to become. Lord, there are some here today who perhaps are unsaved and who need Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And I pray that they would take to heart the words that have been spoken. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will deal with them and cause them to see their need for you. And for those of us who are saved but have not taken seriously the ministry of reconciliation that you have given to us, I pray that you might challenge us this year to do just that. Because we've been reconciled to become reconcilers. And Lord, may that be a challenge of our heart as well. God, there may be those here today who are looking for a church home. I pray, God, that if this is the place you want them to be, that they'll come. Father, whatever decisions need to be made, we place them in your hands and we trust you with them. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Stand together with us as we sing. Oh, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. While we're doing this, let me once again thank you for coming today. If you are a guest, please stop by our welcome center on your way home and visit with us there for a few minutes. We will be back on our regular schedule on Wednesday night, so come and share that time with us. The kids are having gym night, right? Open gym night. Okay, from 6:30 to 7:30, so that's what the children will be doing Wednesday night. So there is a place for them before choirs and everything gets started back. So you come on and do that with us. Remember, next Sunday we start two new Sunday school classes, the Christianity 101 and the young adult class. So we're looking forward to those times as well. So be there. We'd appreciate it. All right, Miss Gladys, would you come stand with me, please? Newell, you can come up here and stand too. This is Gladys Varner. Now, Gladys and Newell got married not too long ago, right? How long ago was it?
The next day after Thanksgiving.
The day after Thanksgiving. All right. But now she has a neat story because she was saved and baptized at Redstone Baptist Church. I believe you said as a bride.
Correct.
Was it 50 years ago?
50 years. Over 50 years ago.
One of the people, this is the neat part of the story, one of the people that was instrumental in leading her to Christ was this guy right here. And now it's kind of come full circle, and God has put them together. And so we're thankful for that. So she is coming by promise of a letter to our church family. If you're happy about that, let her know, please. All right. And if you would, we'd like for you to hang around here at the front for just a minute. Let us speak to you on our way out, okay? So thank you for being here today. Let's stand together. We'll have a closing word of prayer, and we'll be on our way. Bill Britton, all right.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a chance of new beginnings. I thank you for the lesson you've given us today from Brother Charles. I pray, Lord, that we'll be working on our reconciliation with you and to you and for you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we go into this new year, that we'll be doing the things that you'd call us to do, and we would listen when you call us, and we would answer in affirmative. Thank you, Lord, for Ms. Varner's presence in our congregation now. I pray that you'd bless her as she serves here. Pray, Lord, for those people that are traveling today, those people that are away, those people that are sick. Give them the message that you would have them to hear today from you, because you always answer prayers. Thank you again, Lord, for this day and for this church. These things I pray in Christ's name.